excited to have in our studios tonight the great First Lady of the state of Illinois, Diana Rauner. Thanks for being here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
You know, we've talked before, but never just kind of an intimate one-on-one where we just talked about you, because I know every time we talk about you, or talk with you, you're on the campaign trail, you're talking about your husband, you're campaigning, but this is kind of a nice intimate conversation that we can just have and people can learn about you.
Yeah, I'm not so good at talking about myself. I'll do my best.
I know. But yeah, I was doing the background and I thought, wow, Yale, Stanford, University of Chicago, could you have picked any better schools to go to? But you went to all of them.
I did. I like school. I'm good at school.
Yeah, you are. You're very good at school. What's it like the past 4 years? What has it been like being the First Lady of the state of Illinois?
Well, you know, I have to say this was never in our life plan. So we have, we've been very lucky in life. We've had the opportunity to try to excel and commit ourselves to civic life and obviously our 6 children who are the great project of our lives. And we've great, wonderful, long-term friendships and we've been very, very lucky to have very fulfilling careers. So it isn't as though we had this in our sights. And so it was a big surprise to me, honestly, when Bruce won 4 years ago. I never expected he would. And I was really not sure how I felt about it, honestly. And I have been so proud of him and what he's tried to accomplish. I have been so impressed by, of course, his work ethic I knew well, his devotion to the issues and really making people's lives better. Bruce, what people I don't think recognize about Bruce is that he's actually he's this incredibly responsible guy. I've talked about this before. He never talks about his family of origin. It frankly is a little bit painful for him because he grew up in a family where his mom was ill, mm-hmm. and his mother was institutionalized. She was mentally ill, and that of course takes tremendous toll on a family. Bruce, as the eldest of 4 kids, was the protector of the family. And I think eldest kids in a family like that tend to become super responsible and super just committed to really helping the people who are that they see are that need their help. And so he's always been the kind of person who makes other people feel safe. He certainly that's what I love about him. He is just he's physically strong, he's emotionally strong, he's just very self he has a huge capacity to care, and that's really been on display for the last 4 years. He really loves the people of Illinois, and his love for and care for people really comes through. He loves being all over the state. He loves to be outside of Chicago, where a lot of people from Chicago have no interest in the rest of the state. He really, really loves people all over the state and loves going all over the state.
And you, when you entered the picture, obviously you have a very solid, strong, wonderful partnership with your husband. I mean, but you're coming into a situation dealing with mental illness too. So then it becomes your family and your issue to deal with too.
Well, yes. I mean, I think, you know, we, as I said, raising our children, is actually today's our anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Yeah. Thank
How
you.
Many years?
25. And, we've been really, really blessed. And I have to say, I couldn't imagine a better partner. And again, the blessing of 6 beautiful children. And, you know, as with any family, there are bumps along the road. Every one of our kids have hit bumps,
sure.
Along the road. And clearly, you think about family history along the way, and you worry about that. And that certainly becomes part of your mindset. But I think the other thing, and this is, a thing that I've been learning from Bruce for at least the last 25 years, is a sense of acceptance of people. An acceptance of people where they are and who they are. And that's just such an important thing to bring into every marriage, every family.
Absolutely it is. Now, you have 6 children. Who's your favorite? No, I'm kidding. No. Absolutely, I'm kidding. Who was the disciplinarian in the family? Who were the kids more scared of?
Oh, they would say dad's the teddy bear. You know, mom's the drill sergeant,
and
dad's the party
man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We would go to my dad and say what we did, and then he'd say, all right, I'll soften the blow. I'll tell your mother.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm the one that was like, no, you can't have this. You can't have that. You have to eat your vegetables. And he was always like the cake for breakfast kind of guy.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
What do you want your kids to know today? What did you instill in them from a very young age as far as accomplishing anything they wanted or moving forward or being positive? What's something that you instilled that you're most proud of today that you see in all of them?
Yeah, so that's a really important. We think a lot about that. So Bruce and I are both children of the middle class, and our parents were, you know, well-educated, great people, but we were lucky because we so far exceeded their expectations. My mom is the first in her family to graduate from college, and, you know, I have all these fancy degrees. And I think that what we have always thought a lot about for our kids is we don't want them to feel as though they are somehow have to measure up, that they're somehow that the most important thing about them is who their parents are. Mm-hmm. And so during the campaign in 14 and even this time, we've always said, I said to them over and over again, we're all proud of Dad for what he's doing, but what you're doing at school or at work is more important. And you should focus on that. And it's always been really important to us that our children find their own path, that they are their own people. I think that children of wealth and privilege, multi-generational families, they can get their heads spun around and they can start to become pretty insecure and worry about whether people care for them because they're rich or because their parents are famous or because of who they are. And we always wanted our children to know that the most important thing about them was who they are.
Absolutely. And that's important for any parent to instill in their kids. When you applied to Stanford, the business school, I'm reading from an article of where you were named one of the most powerful women in Chicago business. That's very cool, though. I mean, I know you roll your eyes, but it's very deserving.
Well, you know, thank you.
What you've accomplished on your own. But when you were applying to Stanford's business school, you wrote, I want to run a nonprofit someday.
Yeah.
So it was like the writing was on the wall. Did you know from an early age that you wanted to be of service and volunteer and help others?
Well, absolutely. You know, again, that was how I was raised. My parents are in their 80s. My dad just turned 90. They are both still active volunteers. My mom is volunteers for breast cancer recovery for survivors. My dad has been a volunteer in all sorts of things, from Boy Scouts through financial arbitration throughout his life. So I was raised with this idea that that's what you did. You just were part of society and you helped. And I had some formative experiences in my early 20s that made me realize that education was the thing that I cared the most about and could make the most difference in. So even when I applied to business school, I knew that someday I wanted to spend my time and energy focusing on educational inequities, that was really the thing I cared the most about.
And volunteering is still very important to you.
Well, absolutely. You know, I serve as a volunteer in my day job. Mm-hmm. And of course, Bruce is a volunteer as governor. Mm-hmm. But we've been involved in any number of issues across the city and across the country.
Let's talk about Ounce of Prevention. I think this is a perfect time to bring up Ounce of Prevention. Their mission, give children in poverty the best chance for success in school and in life by advocating for and providing the highest quality of education from birth to age 5. So starting young.
Absolutely. Well, the science is very clear that the most important and most efficient time for children to have access to high quality interactions and relationships is at the very earliest ages when their brains are developing so quickly. And, you know, there's that old adage that all men are created equal and that lasts for about 15 seconds. We actually know now with science and prenatal experiences that it's actually even sooner than that. And so it's so important, if we really believe in the potential of all human beings, to ensure that every children has access to the experiences and the relationships and the kinds of things that matter in those first very, very important years of life. So that's what we do. And our focus is particularly in the state of Illinois, but across the country, on developing high quality programs, supporting parents, advocating for public investment in early education, and really pushing the science to see how we can do the best work for young children and
absolutely.
Families.
Absolutely. What you've done, so many things over the past few years. I know kind of your baby was the renovation of the governor's mansion, which looks stunning, I'm told. I saw the before. I haven't seen the after.
You have to come see the after.
I will.
I'm so proud of it.
Springfield is such a fun city. I mean, I know now that that's your residence for the past 4 years, but What was it like moving down there? And then when you did this massive undertaking, and now it's just getting accolades for.
Well, I have to say, we are so proud of the renovation of the mansion. And you know, this was definitely a bit of a shocker. We all knew that the mansion was in bad shape, but I don't think any of us understood how bad it was.
The roof was leaking.
The roof was leaking for some period of time, and so actually the roof had caused the water in the walls and in the ceiling had caused all sorts of structural damage. Damage to the mechanical systems, and of course the rotting wood outside and inside was really just a terrible shame. Yeah. You know, the building is one of the oldest continuously occupied governor's mansions in the country. It's a beautiful building from 1855, and really what we wanted to do was demonstrate that, you know, a different future is possible. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing I think people get a little hung up on. We are so down on our state that we can't see how much great opportunity and potential is right ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And obviously the mansion is a small example of what can be done if you say, you know, let's envision a future and let's go for it. And it's beautiful. And so many people really helped out. It was a labor of so many people's love, and we're very, very proud of it. And it will stand the test of time. It will be a symbol for our state for decades, for generations to come.
It sounds absolutely beautiful, and you put your heart and soul into it too. I had to go to Springfield about a year ago for a conference. And I thought, I'm going to go to the Lincoln Museum. And I mean, if everybody could just spend some time there and learn about our history, because we should be proud of our history.
We should be proud of our history, and we should be thinking about our future. I think that one of the things, of course, that motivates Bruce has been this belief that Illinois has really its assets are huge and its problems are really of its own creation. And certainly his effort in coming in as governor was to try to address some of the just structural challenges that we've had through decades and decades of, honestly, a government that really wasn't run for the benefit of the people. And so a lot of the work that he's done, you know, there's a lot of focus on the fights with the legislature. And of mm-hmm. course, those are the most exciting things for the media to write about. They're kind of like sports. But the day-to-day work of improving the state has been huge. And again, I don't think people think enough about the work that the accomplishments that have been done. So taking the government and digitizing the government, bringing a Department of Information Technology, the first chief of information officer, investing in computers for departments that didn't have it, has cut down on both expenses, but also made the government work better for people. It's a huge transformation. Hiring people who can run the pensions to increase the returns has created hundreds of millions of dollars of value.
And jobs.
Yeah. Envisioning and recompeting all of the Medicaid managed care so that we now have better service for people has saved hundreds of millions of dollars, but has improved services for people. Getting a Medicaid waiver from the Obama administration, now the Trump administration, to bring mental health services to the state. Again, Illinois is now the only A-ranked state in the country for mental health parity. The next level state is a C-ranked. So we have actually transformed mental health services in the state. And these things will save our state money in the long run, because as we know, mental health and behavioral health is often a precursor to physical challenges. And so if you can address the mental health issues, you can save money on the physical health challenges. That's the point of it. Yeah. Similarly, criminal justice reform, lowering the prison population, and reducing recidivism. These are things that save huge amounts of money in our state.
Absolutely.
And of course, the focus on education. That's really our passion, both Bruce's and mine. And that has been the area where that's really, if Bruce were to say, why did he run for governor? It was to change the education system. Taking on, a broken education funding formula, which had been broken for decades.
Right, for many, many years.
Everyone knew it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it took Bruce's team and Bruce to say, okay, we're going to create a bipartisan commission to revisit this, the funding formula. He and his Secretary of Education led that work for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. The education funding formula that was passed by the legislature, the addition of a tax scholarship program for low-income kids, charter school parity, and also raising the standards for performance across our state. These are things that are just transformative in how we run our state. And again, it takes vision, it takes leadership and a willingness to say, let's go there and do these things. Some of them happen under the radar. They're not sexy, but they change the quality of life for the people of Illinois.
When you talk, Mrs. Rana, you're very passionate and your words are very powerful. And you know, don't just leave it to me. You've been named one of the most powerful women in Chicago business. Your voice resonates. And I think young women and women in business look toward you as a role model and as a mentor. And you seem very comfortable with that role. What would you say to women who are listening to you and to thinking, you know what? Well, first of all, would you ever consider running for any sort of office?
I don't think that's necessary. I would love to contribute in all sorts of other ways.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, I think the most important thing for women, and I feel very lucky because I've been supported by a lot of great men in my life, and I have a strong role model in my mother, and I also want to be a role model for other women. I think being able to feel confident that you can speak your mind, that your voice and your thoughts are as valued as anyone else's, it's so important that women feel that way and that they act that way. And I think you can do that, again, with passion for the issues that you know well. I've always been a person who thinks that we start with the work and we know the work well and we move from there. So I try to speak about the things I know something about and I try to learn about what I know about.
I know you played tennis, you fenced in college as well. What do you like to do now in your, I'm going to say free time, but if you had 2-3 weeks off to just do something that you like, what would you do?
So if Bruce and I had the time, we would spend our time in the woods, walking in the woods, camping in the woods. We really love to be outdoors. And so our favorite thing to do is really, it sounds sad, but we just go on hikes and sometimes we talk, but sometimes we don't talk. We just walk. And we are really outdoor people. So I would get on my horse and I would ride in the woods. I'd walk up in the woods and I'd just pitch a tent and sleep under the stars.
What would be your dream vacation?
Oh, my dream vacation is probably, I would love to go to New Zealand. I've always wanted to go to New Zealand and I would hike the Milford Trail in New Zealand.
Oh my God, it sounds beautiful. If the governor wins another term and 4 more years, what will you pick up doing on November 7th?
Well, I don't think I'll pick up anything. I'll just keep at doing something. Mm-hmm. And I'll say I'll keep at doing this regardless of whether the governor wins or not. So as you know, I've been focused on early childhood education for decades. And one of the things that I'm most proud of is the work that we have been doing to try to bring nurse home visiting to every baby in Illinois. And that has been, when Bruce was elected in 14, people said, so what's your cause? You know, it's like first lady is supposed to have causes. And I said, well, I have a cause. I've been working on my cause for a while. Yeah. But I do want to see every baby in Illinois have at least one home visit. And that has been something we've been working on, honestly, for some time. And I hope that work will continue. I expect it will. We're excited that we've been piloting that. Similarly, you know, Bruce has been working on his pet project, the expansion of the University of Illinois Computer Science and Engineering Department to the city of Chicago. He's been working on that for 12 years. And he started that long before he was thinking about running for governor. And I think it's an idea that needs to continue and transcend any administration and any person. The governor was able to get $500 million from the legislature. Related Midwest has graciously donated 20 acres down on their new 78 for a new campus for the University of Illinois. That's a home run for the state of Illinois because people don't know this, but back in 1983, McKinsey and Company told Governor Thompson that the number one way to improve the Illinois economy was to expand the University of Illinois' Computer Science and Engineering Department to Chicago. So Bruce was very proud of himself when he thought this up 12 years ago, and then he found out that it wasn't actually his idea. But it
but
doesn't.
It's, okay,
it's
right.
A great idea.
It
doesn't matter
idea.
Whose idea it is,
yeah.
And it's really, really important and really, really exciting. So they've laid a lot of groundwork. They've issued memorandum of understanding with Northwestern and the University of Chicago, with Technion University in Israel. These are opportunities to just really put a rocket ship to our economy. And we have to do those things because that's the only way we're going to work our way out of our fiscal challenge. It's not going to come by, there is no way that you could raise taxes enough to pay for our structural challenges. We have to be able to grow our economy at a rate that's much, much faster than what we're doing now.
Absolutely. And my final question, if the governor doesn't win, politics are fickle, on November 7th, what will you do?
Well, we'll do the same thing one way or other, the other. We'll be with our kids and our family, and we'll count our blessings. Yeah. We have many, and so I think that we will always know that we have done everything, put everything we can into this work, and tried our very, very best, and we will be blessed one way or the other.
But I always see you still being a voice in Illinois.
I'm very committed to the very young children of our state, and I will continue to be the advocate and I hope a driving force in improving their lives.
And what have you been most proud of? I know I said final question before, but...
What have I been most proud of over the last few years?
Yeah.
I really do think that the beginning of what we're hoping is a universal support system for new parents. That is really the thing that I think will make the biggest difference in our families' lives in the state. And having the opportunity for every baby and every new parent to have a nurse come and visit them and see them at home in the first few weeks after they're born, I think that is everyone should have that, regardless of income, regardless of background. And that's the thing I'm most proud of.
Thank you for being with us. I appreciate it, Mrs. Rauner.
Thank you, Andrea.
Best